Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you this morning. Let's get to our shouts. What do? Love God and love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. So glad to see you this morning. Thank you for joining us. There are a few of us here in person, but thank you for the majority of our church joining us online and being so faithful in that. Don't worry, we've been tracking you through those Google Track and all that, and so we know how long you watch and that sort of thing. So don't worry. We don't know, but we're glad that you are joining us. Public service announcement here. I got to say something that's outside of the sermon really fast. You guys got an email this week. Many of the you, if we have your email address, you got an email telling you that the building owner that we currently meet at, our sanctuary here, is going to go have our lease go month to month rather than have a long-term lease with us. And so that being said, we think that because of all the coronavirus and that sort of stuff, that they... we don't know what they're going to do with the building, and so our church has decided to try to figure out what the next step for us in terms of where we'll be meeting physically once the pandemic is over. So there's a team that's going to be meeting together to try to figure that out. Right now there's a whole bunch of about six or seven folks that are on that. So excited for them. They'll be tasked with deciding whether to think about buying a building, or whether we continue to rent a building and finding the and securing the best option for that. I think this is really going to be an incredible time of rejoicing and blessing. I know it wasn't in our plan for this year, but God's plans are always greater and better than our plans. And so if you think that God might be calling you to serve in that kind of way, that's something that interests you, then please let me know this week, because that team is going to get set. Brian Chan said, like, at his work, they call them the Tiger Teams when they have a big project. And so that's going to be, and for some reason, it stuck in my head. And I see Brian going, like, Tiger Team, you know? Like, and so that's the Building Search Tiger Team. If you'd like to join that, just let me know. And then by this week, and then they'll be getting moving on that. So we're month to month, so we don't know how long that may be, 6, 8, 10 months here, or maybe one more month here. So we're not positive. So we're just praying and trying to develop a great plan for how God wants Jericho Road to move. All right, so now back to our series. This is our third week in our series of Listen. The first week we were talking about listening to other people so that we can benefit them, so that we can connect better, so that we can hear them out, so that we can create community. And the second week we also talked about listening to other people, but for our benefit, learning to listen to mentors so that we can navigate our life well. And then this week, we're going to talk about listening to God. If we claim to be believers, we need to listen to what God wants for us. If we claim that we're seekers, then we need to listen to God's voice to us. Maybe we claim to be skeptics, then we need to listen for God's voice of reason. Or perhaps if we are antagonistic to God, then maybe we need to hear God's voice of love even to us. So no matter where you find yourself on your spiritual journey, we need to come to this key moment in our life where we say, God, I've got to listen to you. God, I want to listen for your voice. And so we're going to talk today about listening to God. Maybe the call for you to listen manifests itself in different questions. Maybe it's something like, God, what is your desire for my life? Maybe you're a little bit younger. Maybe you say, like, God, what major should I be? Or God, should I date that guy or that girl? What profession might you have for me, God? Maybe you're in the middle stage of life and you have, God, how many kids do you want us to have? God, would you like us to maybe adopt or foster? God, should I stay in this job that I've been in? Or God, should I venture out on my own and start my own business? Or maybe you're in the place where you're asking, God, is it time to retire? God, is it time to go on some vacations? Now's not the time. It's the pandemic, so that's not one of them. But God, would you like me in the end part of my life to become a missionary? Or even a sincere question like, God, why did you make me so darn good looking? You see, all of the big questions of life can only be answered if we listen. But when I say that, it's with the knowledge that we have two problems. First, what would it look like to listen to God? I mean, what does that really mean to listen to God? That's our first problem, learning how to listen to God. And the second problem is, will we obey if we do hear from God? And so that's our two movements this morning. Figuring out how to listen to God, and then figure out if I'm actually going to obey if he does speak to me. The first problem is how I can actually hear God's voice. Like, what does he sound like? Like, what would that look like if God were trying to speak to me? How does it exactly work? Or is it even true? Is it real? Is it reliable? Is it available? Can I actually hear from God? And does he want to speak to me? The easiest way to hear God's voice is to listen to God's word. So the Bible is called the Word of God because it's the primary, most straightforward way God is going to speak to his people. There's this passage in Hebrews that says, for the Word of God, it's alive and it's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. See, God has something to say. It's like he's saying, like, a word, please. Let me say something to you. And we have it in written form. And it speaks to our soul and our spirit. It dwells in the realm of thoughts and attitude. The Word of God, the Bible that we have, has the power to convince, to change, to shape, to move our hearts if we listen to it. Now, we have this really cool opportunity. Nowadays, you can get the Bible on audio. And so James Earl Jones will read it in, like, this really cool voice to you. And so we can, like, literally listen to God's word in our car. Like, so there isn't a lot of excuse to say, well, I don't have time or I don't know how to listen to God's voice. Well, turn on whatever, your Bible app and hit play. And then that's God's word to you and to me. It's the most straightforward way that God will speak. But how else can God speak? What if God, could God speak audibly to me where I could actually hear it with my ears? Yes. God could speak to you literally in a voice. Look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Now God in his nature, he doesn't have a voice box, but he has the power to create one if he wanted. He can create something out of nothing. And he doesn't even need to create a voice box. He could just create the sound waves. Isn't that pretty cool? Or he could just create a neck with a larynx and the sound would come out. That would be really weird. Or a head with a neck. That would also be really weird. But he could make those things and speak audibly to you. Or he could just make the sound come out loud out of thin air. Because he has the ability to create something out of nothing. Now, so throughout human history, God has spoken out loud for people to hear. Now, also in history, there have been people who claim to hear God's voice, and they've done all sorts of harm. And there is that reality that there have been some people who have claimed to say, I heard God's voice, now let's do X, Y, or Z, and that X, Y, or Z has caused harm or caused sorrow or badness in this world. But we don't disbelieve the reality because of the abuses of some. Like, some people abuse the banking system, but that doesn't mean we reject banking. And so God can speak to you audibly. That is one of the opportunities, one of the ways that he could speak to you. Can God still speak in, like, dreams and visions? I've kind of heard of that in the Bible. Absolutely, yes. There was this dude who God told to reach out to Saul. Check out his narrative here in Acts. In Damascus, there's a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. There you go. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. Lord said, him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a guy named from Tarsus named Saul. And he's praying there. And in a vision, this guy Saul, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and place his hands on him to restore his sight. And then Lord Ananias said, this isn't part of the vision part, I just think it's super funny. Ananias says, like, I've heard many reports about that guy and all the harm that he's done to the holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. And so Ananias is getting this vision, and then he's like, whoa, that guy's bad news. And he's like, well, I don't really want to do that one, God, because that guy's killing people and arresting people. Now, Ananias does listen and ultimately follow God, but in his vision, it wasn't something that he was, like, super excited about. God was going to tell him to talk to this guy that he was pretty scared of. So the Bible records God's people listening to him through visions and dreams all the time. We see it in the Old Testament multiple times. We see it in the New Testament multiple times. And so we have this pattern of God where he speaks in vision and dreams prior to even the giving of the law. He speaks to in visions and dreams during the time of the law, during the time of Jesus, and then after Jesus is ascended into heaven, God is still giving dreams and visions to people. And so I think he still does today. There was a friend of mine who was a congregant in my church. His name was Paul Chang. His father was killed in his shop. He had a liquor store, and someone tried to rob the shop, and the dad got stabbed, and he died. 6 months or so, maybe 6 months or 8 months after that, Paul came to me and he said, like, "Hey, Pastor Sam, I think I had a vision or a dream of my dad." And I said, "Really?" You know, and he said, "Let me hear it." And he was sharing about, like, he said, "In my dream, my dad came and he told me, because I've been really worried about stuff, and he told me, like, it's going to be all okay. And he told me that he is well, that he's not in any pain or sorrow or that kind of stuff." And he said, could that be true? Like, could God have been giving me a vision? So I think about it, say, okay, does it go against the Bible? Is there anything that says that can't happen? Did the vision say something that's against God or point Paul away from God? But no, in fact, it did the opposite. And so as I'm thinking through the filter of the Bible in my mind, it doesn't go against anything like that. And so I say to Paul, you know, absolutely, I think God can give you a vision. And I have no problem saying that that is a vision from God as he's comforting you and guiding you. And he could use a picture of your dad, or could it actually be your dad? I mean, God could send his dad back and give him that vision, or God could be giving him a picture of his dad to speak into Paul's life. And so I think God still has that as an available means to talk to us. Well, can God also speak through other people? Absolutely, he can. Check this passage in Ezekiel. "In the morning, the word of the Lord came to me. And he said, 'Son of man, did not the Israelites, that rebellious people, ask you, what are you doing? Now say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says.'" This prophecy concerns the prince of Jerusalem and all the Israelites who are there. "Say to them that I am assigned to you." And so here God clearly is telling Ezekiel to go deliver a message to someone else. So God is saying to this person, go speak on my behalf. Say to them, this is what God says. And so God is using Ezekiel to be the mouthpiece of God to someone else. So as I mentioned last week, God puts godly people in our lives as mentors, as spiritual guides, as Christians who can speak into our lives and to help us listen to God's voice. He absolutely does that now. He can absolutely speak to someone and give them a word of the Lord for you, and they come and tell you, hey, this is what God's been telling me. Now, just like the other thing, could someone use this for nefarious means? They could. That's why we run it through the filter of the Bible. Does this go against anything God says? How does this line up with God's word? And how does the wisdom come through that kind of way? So he can and does use godly voices of godly people in our lives. Well, how about, like, can God speak silently to our souls or our hearts? And I would say again, yes. That's another way God can speak to us. John 16 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you in all the truth. And he'll not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come." Again, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a larynx. Now, as God, he could create one. But he's called the Holy Spirit for a reason. He interacts on a spirit level or on a soul level, however you like to think of it, on an internal you level. And that's where the Holy Spirit is most likely. It is his primary mode of communicating is to your inside you, your inside center, wherever that is for you. Perhaps it's a nudge. Perhaps it's a voice that you hear in your head from him. Perhaps it's a movement or a strong feeling or being drawn to do something, like, I just feel like I got to do that in this, like, righteous way. I know God wants me to care for, like, for people who are hurting or poor, and God just, you feel that nudge in your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit nudging you. We listen to God's voice in the whispers of life. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord's about to pass by," then speaking to Elijah. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, and it shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. The Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And then when Elijah heard that, he pulled his cloak over his head, goes out and he stands at the mouth of the cave. So I would say, be on the lookout for the whispers of life. In life, think about like sometimes random things you encounter. So like, maybe in your own personal prayer time, you're praying something, you kind of felt God was saying, we'll use the example of like going to short-term missions. So you kind of felt God was saying that. And then, you get to your scripture reading that week or you plop it open and it's talking about, go therefore into all the nations. And you're like, oh, dang it. And then, on Sunday sermon, the pastor says those exact words and you're like, argh. So you're at work and some people are talking about like going somewhere and taking vacations and you're like, that's interesting. And then you get in your car and you hear this song about go into all the world, and you're like, dang it. And as you're driving, you see this huge billboard that says go. And you're like, yeah, something like that, And you're like, God, are you trying to tell me something? And God's like, duh, how stupid are you? Like, I said it in like 15 different ways. And you're like, maybe though, right? He's like, what do you mean maybe? All of the possible mechanisms for speaking to you were used. So probably. I think it moves past even maybe to move into the probably. So we can listen to God through the Bible, or maybe he'll speak audibly, and we can listen to him through a vision or a dream in the quiet whisper of our hearts. Multiple ways to hear God. But then there's our next problem. Listening once we hear. Our next problem is listening once we hear, or doing the things that he asks of us. Look, we have the choice every time we hear from God. We can either reject his voice and not listen to what he's telling us to do, or we can hear his voice and obey what he's telling us to do. Let me show you two narratives in the Bible that do the opposite things. Two examples of this. The first one is this guy in the Bible who hears, but he doesn't listen. In Mark chapter 10, as Jesus started on his way, a guy runs up to him and he falls on his knees before him. He's a good teacher. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Just like, why you call me good? No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Shouldn't murder, shouldn't commit adultery, not steal, no false testimony. You shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. A teacher, he declares, I kept all these since I was a boy. Jesus looks at him and he loves him. And he's like, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. So this guy doesn't get the answer that he wants. What did he want? He wanted Jesus to tell him, like, keep going, you're doing great. Live on, brother. But Jesus says, oh, no, do this thing. And then when he hears it, he says, nah. And then he goes away sad. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not sure why you ask God what to do if you're not willing to listen when he tells you what to do. I think only if you're asking for confirmation, not direction. Like I said last week about I often did with mentors in my life. I just wanted them to tell me what I wanted to hear. I don't want to tell them I don't want to follow any direction. And if we're only going to do that with God, then I wouldn't even bother asking God if you're not going to actually listen to the thing that he tells you to do. But I would say, just like this guy in the Bible, if we hear but we don't listen, it always results in sadness. It may be instantly, or we may come to it after a bit, but rejecting God's word in our lives always leads to a less joyful, less productive path. See, God has better plans for you than you can plan. And God has more power to fulfill those plans than you have power. And he knows what's best to satisfy your soul, even better than you know for yourself. And so you ought to listen to him, not just hear him. See, there's another guy, a different guy in the Bible, who does hear and who does listen. And this is what the Bible says about him in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. See that right there? by faith, Abraham, when called, he hears, he obeys, and went. He hears, and then he listens. He does the thing that God asks him to do. And because of that, he becomes the father of an entire nation. He gets blessed beyond measure. Jesus, the Savior of the world, comes through his lineage because he didn't just hear, but he listened and obeyed. Life will always go better if you follow God's way. Maybe not as rich, maybe not as famous, but better and more satisfying with more eternal significance and lasting value. Listening leads to obedience, just like we see in the passage of Abraham. And just like Abraham, we obey by stepping out in faith and doing what God asks for us. Look, I'm certain of a couple things. I am 100% certain that God is going to ask you to take a huge faith step this year. I don't know exactly what it's going to be in, but I know God wants every single person who's hearing this today to know that he is going to ask you to step out in faith, maybe not just once, maybe multiple times, and to trust him and to listen and obey. I'm also fully convinced that God is going to ask us as a church to take some significant faith steps. I know that hiring the college pastor that we're desiring to do, that is one of the faith steps that God is asking us to do, to listen to his voice. So bam, there's one. I know that being people focused is one. I know that emerging from this pandemic, ready, eager, excited, and hope-filled is one. And I can't help but wonder if our building insecurity will turn out to be a faith opportunity. When I'm thinking about the building, I'm 0% worried, and I'm 100% excited for what God has in the works for us in this area. Look, I'm going to close with an Old Testament passage. It's an affirmation about listening to God. But before I do, I'm going to ask us to stand up. I'm going to ask you guys to get into a posture where we're going to say, God, I want to receive from you. I want to listen to you. And so would you stand up with me, and would you open your hands up in one of two ways, either like this, like, God, I'm going to receive, or like if you're like, I know, bold, crazy, maybe it's like this, God, I'm going to receive. I can't do it too much because my belly shows, my shirt's a little small, you know, so, you know, if you want to do a two-hander way up, here, I'll tuck it in and show you how that, you know, one of those, you can receive that way too, but would you do some gesture? Would you say, God, I want to hear, but I don't want to just hear, I want to obey. I want to listen. And let's receive and then listen to God. Here's the passage for us. In Deuteronomy 13 and 4, it says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him." Take a moment to say in your words, God, I want to listen. And I want to be open to hearing from you. And would you help me to obey when I do hear? And then we're going to worship.